This episode of the Consulting Pipeline Podcast is brought to you by Garrett St. John. Garrett is my guest on today's episode, so you'll hear a little bit more about his story in a moment. But for now, if you are an agency owner and your development team needs help producing code faster, shipping more reliable code, or just doing a better job of meeting customer expectations or operating effectively and efficiently, then I'd encourage you to check out what Garrett has to offer in terms of training and mentoring for your software development team. You can find his website at garrettstjohn.com. I'm going to spell that out for you. GarrettStJohn.com. Again, garrettstjohn.com. Garrett St. John, how are you?
Doing good, Philip. How about you?
Doing all right. Thanks for taking some time to chat with me today.
Yeah, happy to do it. Thanks.
So let's do this. For the folks at home who surprisingly maybe have never heard of you, who are you and what do you do?
Well, I am in transition between what I've been doing and what I am hoping to be doing here in my work with you. But primarily, I'm a software developer. I'm playing senior roles in most of the work that I do. And I'm working to transition to a solid position in software leadership.
Nice. So I want folks to kind of have the context for where you're coming from, and then I want to talk about how you got to this point where you're like, I want to do something different other than coding all the time. Nothing wrong with that, but that's part of the progression. I think that a lot of folks want to make is moving out of coding into more advisory work or leadership work. So how did you get to where you are today in terms of your career?
Yeah, so I've been doing software development for about 15 years professionally, sometimes as an employee, a salaried employee, sometimes as a consultant. Over the years, I've switched back and forth. And that's largely been it's kept my living. Things have been good, and I've got to do a lot of really cool projects. And so, you know, the real stimulus for this change was around the fact that my pipeline was largely dependent on referrals from folks that I were in my network or people I'd worked with in the past, and just wasn't feeling like that was as strong as I'd like. I would have liked to have been. So basically, that was what led me to talk to you, was to try to find some position. You know, I read the positioning manual and just found that while it was great, I was just needing that extra push, a little bit of accountability, and just an extra hand along this process.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So what kind of coding have you been doing for those 15 years?
Primarily PHP. You know, I've jumped around on the various frameworks over the years. Started with no frameworks, CodeIgniter, Laravel. Now it's kind of the main thing that I'm doing my work in. Popped over the front end, which once all the JavaScript frameworks became popular, and have done a fair amount of Angular and Vue development there as well.
Okay. So at some point you were like, The way you described it, you said it's like your pipeline wasn't as robust as you would like it to see. Was there anything else that was going on, like mentally or emotionally, where you started thinking, I want to advance, or I want to move into doing less coding and more advising or more leadership?
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the big things was the fact that while I'm not I'm 34, so I'm not so far into my career that I can't keep up. But I do think that there was a bit of like, man, there's a new JavaScript framework every week. There's a new PHP framework coming every, 5 to 10 years. The web is just so young and it's changing so fast that it would be really nice to take my experience and start to leverage that in how to manage projects, how to manage development workflow, because those things are kind of timeless, I think.
Right.
You know, how to work together well and how to produce in a timely manner high quality code is something that's going to stay around. And so that was really the stimulus for my looking at this change in position and what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis.
So what was like the first time that someone trusted you enough to to have you move into a more senior position, and how did that come to be?
Yeah, I think that was just kind of through my day-to-day work. There was kind of, you know, there was one contract that comes to mind. You know, I was a staff augmentation developer for an agency. And the project just had gotten a little bit off of the rails. And so I think they had seen just through my experience that that might be something that I could do. And so we did trial like a software leadership role for, you know, probably about a month. I think we had, you know, good success with that. And actually have since been brought on in a standalone role to do software leadership on a totally different project. So I take that as good results, but that was sort of the first opportunity that I really was put into that position.
Okay. I want to circle back later to this standalone opportunity you talked about, but at that time, so the project was going off the rails. Did you just sort of raise your hand and say, I think I can fix this? Or I'm very curious what you did that gave your client the confidence that you could handle this new level of responsibility?
You know, I don't consider myself somebody who just naturally grabs the reins and everybody's coming along with me, but there was a bit of that, just a need for that. There was a bit of a gap, I think, in the project where it was like, frustrated client, frustrated development team, slow progress. And it was just that somebody has to jump on and set timelines, to set estimates, to set, you know, priorities and all of those things. And so, you know, it wasn't just a like line in the sand and from now on I'm doing this, but it was progressively over, you know, a couple weeks, a couple development cycles, of just, you know, interjecting opinions there, showing that I maybe had the capacity to do this for my clients.
I see. Okay. Okay. So you sort of looked around and saw, some amount of disarray in the project, and it just kind of, it wasn't like you just stood up and pounded on the desk and had one of those Dead Poets Society moments, but but you just sort of gradually stepped into that role by asserting leadership a little bit at a time, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, part of it for me, like, is I actually needed help seeing that, you know, and in talking to you and working through this, talking through the various different things of how I might position, the different ways I might position, you know, just by kind of open conversation, I was like, yeah, I guess I am doing that, and I could do that for other people. So, so I needed a bit of a you know, handholding through that, but it was something that I was already doing for clients prior to having starting work with you.
Did it feel strange to sort of metaphorically step away from the keyboard a little bit? And what I mean by that is spend less than 100% of your time coding.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, after you've been doing this for basically all of my career to this point, that's kind of nerve wracking. I mean, it's how I've made the dollars that, you know, pay my mortgage, and so any change is a bit scary. And some of it is just I love development. But you know, partly for just my future, but partly is like I have a stuff I work in the back end. This is not like I'm not going to be developing anymore. You know, I work on side projects with peers and have plenty of opportunity to code. So it's not about just giving it up and walking away. It's more about like, you know, what's the next natural step in my career?
Yeah, right. Did you? I know I'm just being like asking really simple questions here, but I think that these are the exact questions a lot of others face when they're at this sort of around this moment that you're in right now. So, did you consider other options, like for that next step in your career? I'm not even sure what those might be, but did you just, were there other options on the table?
Yeah. So I had ventured down the road a bit myself before. And I think even, you know, once we started working together, there was a list of things, you know, looking through past clients that I had served. Mm-hmm. You know, so there was definitely some options there. I think the continual thing that I went back to with some of those was, okay, if I have to do X and read blogs about X and talk to people every day about X, mm-hmm. am I going to be happy doing that?
Right.
And so some of those options immediately fell off because it was just something that I couldn't see myself wanting to, you know, become such a big part of my life. Yes, I had served them on a one-off client contract and I think done well, good work for them. Some of it might have been reusable for future clients, but you know, at the end of the day, it was like, okay, do I want to live and breathe this for 6 months while I'm getting in there? And then obviously going forward too, is it something that I want to have be a part of my everyday work?
Yeah. You've kind of now had a chance to start dipping your toe a little more in the, maybe you're up to your ankle or knee by now, but you know, the waters of leadership. And what have you seen that you just didn't know about that as a sort of, you know, just a regular coder?
You know, I mean, I think probably the biggest thing is that, you know, there's still a lot for me to learn. You know, I think, I think that while I have experience in it, it's some of it's just grabbing the bits out of there that, you know, that I didn't know, that I was even doing or, you know, yeah, I think the biggest thing that I'm looking at is just, how do I share? How do I help? How do I, you know, structure this in a way that's, you know, easy, very clear as a service offering to my clients. A lot of those types of things that are the next step of this whole process.
Right, right. So you kind of moved out of a world where you knew exactly what you were doing, right? Into a world where there's more uncertainty, it sounds like, or just more questions about how to do things in a way that's effective.
Yeah, yeah, certainly.
So next question is, what did the opportunity to do this look like right when you were on the cusp of like, okay, this might be an opportunity. I'm not sure. I think it's an opportunity. What did it look like? How did that actually manifest itself at that time? And just, I guess for context, relatively recently you put together a proposal that was, I suppose, your first proposal to do like just completely advisory work, right? Am I right?
That's
about
right.
That? Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
So before you wrote the proposal, when you were just like, I think there might be something here, did the client ask you specifically to do that? Or what did that look like before you knew it was a real opportunity?
Yeah, I think the timing for all of this was very convenient, and I don't necessarily think that's something that's unique to me. I think the things are there. The, you know, the activity within your work is usually there, uh-huh. And it was just a matter of seeing it because, I was doing, you know, my development contract thing, and just got a random call. Hadn't spoken with this client for probably 6 months or so.
Okay, so they were, sorry, let me stop you there. So they were a previous client, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Continue.
In a development scope.
Exactly.
So I was doing, right. Code development. Yeah.
Right.
And they basically, got a call and said, these things are happening. We feel like we could really use some help. Is that something you'd even be open to looking at doing for us?
Okay.
So that was kind of the first. And then, I've even since then had a couple of opportunities pop up. Basically mostly with previous clients. Mm. So, I think all these things were there. I was doing this advisory role in the work that I was already doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even my clients were seeing it, but it was just kind of that matter of like me saying, hey, I guess that is that is something I'm doing and something that I could do exclusively.
Okay. So you put together a proposal for this new opportunity. I'm sure you had questions as a part of doing that. Like, what were the big questions that you had to figure out as a part of putting together that proposal?
Yeah, I think the big thing, especially being that this wasn't a packaged offering, was, what does that offering look like? What do they even need? Mm-hmm. I was able to do an on-site meeting with the client as kind of a initial and smaller engagement. Mm-hmm. To talk to some of the developers on the team, talk to the management team, and really just kind of sniff out the struggles so that my proposal could reflect what it was that they could use. Mm-hmm. To sort of right the ship and be as effective as possible.
Okay. Okay. Anything else that was like a major, so it was like, what does this client actually even need? Because they came to you with a request that was not as detailed as you needed to put together a proposal. Was there anything else that was kind of a major question?
Even in the engagement that we had, the on-site where I was, discussing the state of affairs with this agency. Mm-hmm. The questions were like, what do I ask?
Right. Right.
What do we talk about? What are the signs, the red flags? And not that I didn't have the answers. It was just, again, like stepping back from myself and my day-to-day work and, saying, hey, we're going to use version control and this is how you should do it and peer review. And mm-hmm. the things that I know and have done for many, many years, seeing those as red flags. Oh, you're not doing that. Okay. That's probably something that we should address. Okay. And how communicate with each other. Oh, we should probably talk about those things. So I think some of it's stepping outside of myself and saying, oh, like not everybody does that way. I've seen that to be really effective. And so that's probably something that we should work on for you.
Interesting. So it sounds like it was almost like a circling back sort of thing where at first you're like, I don't even know what to, what questions to ask. And then you realized your questions were almost answered by your own best practices that you developed over greater than a decade of doing this kind of work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think really that's the service I'm planning to offer is mm-hmm. The advisory is coming from not that I have all the answers, but I've fought a lot of the battles and so hopefully I can, present that experience, in an effective way for clients.
Right. Okay. So let's see. I want to keep this to about 20 minutes, so that leaves me another 2 minutes or so to pepper you with questions, Garrett.
All right.
And this has been great so far. I'm just trying to pack as much in as I can. Now that you're where you are today, I guess let's do talk about what you're going to do to move this forward and make this a bigger part of your business, or hopefully the entire part of your business where you're in a more leadership advisory role. Like what are next steps for you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely would like to see this, become my full-time, involvement in advisory. So, the big thing that I'm working on right now is defining some service offerings, and looking at how I can help, you know, both developers and business owners, in a way that's sort of, clear, you know, as to what they're getting out, you know, at a cost that makes sense, you know, that has more value than it has expense. Mm-hmm. So figuring out kind of, you know, what that is, and I have had an opportunity to talk to some folks, both developers and business owners, on like what that would even look like. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a beautiful part of a community is having some peers that you can say, hey, if I was going to do this, like, would I be crazy to start here or to charge this or to whatever else? And so I've been bouncing that off, trying to figure out a couple different types of training or mentoring offerings. Mm-hmm. And basically just really trying to formalize that so that because I do think that there's common things that businesses and developers alike struggle with. And so sort of fleshing those out, figuring out what my like initial steps are to build this offering for my clients.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I want to circle back in about 3 months and do another conversation with you if you're up for it, to let folks see where you are at that point, because I think it's going to be hopefully like a nice even trajectory from where you are, with you even doing more satisfying, interesting advisory work. But we'll do that. In the meantime, there's like a 2%, I have to warn you, there's a 2% chance that somebody listening to this podcast might actually need to hire you. So how would they do that if that was them?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, and that's part of all this work is figuring out, but right now I have my website, and that's probably the best way to contact me. It's GarrettSaintJohn.com. That's GarrettSaintJohn.com. And, you know, it's pretty developer focused right now. I've been writing for a number of years off and on about various coding problems and how I solved them. But I'm looking as a part of this whole process to transition that over. But they can contact me on the site there.
Okay. That's perfect. Yeah. Don't be confused by the out of date messaging there. And that also, I think, may be interesting for folks who listen to the podcast who aren't wanting to hire you, but are wanting to follow in your footsteps, is to kind of look at the transition over time. So I appreciate you sharing that, Garrett. And I really appreciate you joining me for this conversation. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks, Philip.